Thanks for joining us for another Faith Horizons podcast. The purpose of a Faith Horizons podcast is to discover the kingdom of God in Kansas City, one conversation at a time. You're invited on a journey with our guest, Joy Marie Chamberlain, the founder of Freedom's Bridge, a ministry that bridges the 72-hour gap for survivors of human trafficking, an unlikely candidate with an incredible mission from the Lord. We covered the calling that touched her heart, her journey to Kansas City from the beautiful state of Connecticut, her ministry to law enforcement in Kansas City, beginning Freedom's Bridge, and so much more of the incredible adventure God has her on. Here is my conversation with Joy Marie Chamberlain. Welcome to the Faith Horizons podcast. I'm so excited to be able to interview you, hear what God is doing in the new ministry that you've started, and also just to hear kind of the backstory and just give you an opportunity to speak on your heart for this city and also the calling that God has put on your life. Welcome, Joy Marie.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Nathan. It is a pleasure to be here. I'm rather excited. Anything to talk about the love of my life is always a delightful opportunity.
So what would you say the love of your life is?
Oh, that would be Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, hands down.
Amen.
I mean, truthfully, there are times when somebody will look at me and ask, have you just fallen in love? Have you met someone? Have you fallen in love? There's a glow about you. And it's like, well, as a matter of fact, not that I've met someone, but let me tell you.
Yeah.
Yes, I am a woman in love.
Yes. So from what I hear and what we've talked a little bit before this, you were in Connecticut. And how long ago were you in Connecticut?
I was in Connecticut up until 6.5 years ago. I was born, raised, married, and widowed in Connecticut. Not a traveler, not one who liked to go here and there. I'm happy hunkered down in my little world. And
so you were happy in Connecticut.
I was dumb and happy in Connecticut. I was working full-time in a large corporation. Corporate America was my mission field. I was a high-level executive assistant.
Wow.
Very happy with what I was doing, knowing every day that I walked into that building and I got to speak the name Jesus, whether they wanted to hear it or not.
Amen.
I used to drive to work and say, Satan, I defy you to get me fired because God put me there and God will take me out.
Amen.
And so I was happy as could be. And then also doing ministry through my church, very active in ministry at church, Bible studies, number of different other activities. And then I came out to Kansas City.
God had other plans for you.
Oh, did he ever? He did have other plans. One of my spiritual sons announced that he was coming out to IHOP to do an internship.
International House of Prayer, KC.
And the moment he said that, Holy Spirit said, drive out with him. And I thought, well, that's rather peculiar because I'm not a traveler. But the amazing thing, what startled me was how readily I thought, okay, that was out of character for me, my immediate okay. So I drove out with him to help him get settled in. This was January of 2012. We drive out here. We're 4 days, and I'm going to help him get set up in his apartment. So I'm sleeping on an air mattress in his roommate's room, and day three of while we're here, I'm here. We're driving to dinner that night. I'm driving, and all at once, Holy Spirit pierces me and says, this is home. Kansas City is your home.
So that was
January of 2012.
January of 2012.
2012. I'm surprised I didn't drive off the road, to be perfectly honest with you. It was so clear, so distinct and loud, and it pierced not just my mind, but my spirit. My body was literally trembling when I got out of the car at the restaurant. I have no idea how I carried on a conversation. I didn't say a word to anyone about it, but the remaining few days I was here in KC, he just kept repeating over and over, this is home, this is home, to which I kept saying, no, it's not. I don't think so. I got on a plane to fly back to Connecticut, and I cried the entire connector's home to Connecticut. I don't want to come here. This is not my home. For 2 weeks after I arrived back in Connecticut, every night for 2 weeks, I went upstairs in my bedroom, got on my knees at 8 p.m. every night, and gave God every lame reason why I shouldn't move here.
You had a list.
I did, but I couldn't tell you right now what it was, and it was probably the most lame excuse ever. And after 2 solid weeks of that, I did a face plant on the bed and said, all right, fine. Now I believe. Okay, I said, yes, I'm coming. Oh, no. 40 months.
40 months.
40 months from the time I said yes until he released me from Connecticut. In 2012, he told me a number of things that I was to do when I got here. I was to, retire early from my job. I was not to bring my resume. I was not to update it. Bring it. Don't even touch it. Do not bring your resume. When you move home to Kansas City, you are working for me. I have written your job description.
Wow.
So that was one instruction. The other was, I'm sitting minding my own business at work one day, and it was stop what you're doing and compose this letter that you are going to send to the entire company when you leave, when your resignation is announced.
Wow.
Okay, fine. The only thing that wasn't there were the dates of my end date, my termination date. But it was, I'm leaving here to pursue full-time ministry. I can't remember everything else it said, but wrote all that. Then it was, I asked him, I love to play dress up. Do I have to get rid of all my nice clothes? He said, no, I still want you to wear what you're wearing. And do not buy any new clothes when you get to Kansas City, because no one has seen your wardrobe. So you are going there with a brand new wardrobe. How cool is that? The other thing is, your last day of employment will be a Wednesday.
Yeah.
And 4 days later, you will climb into a moving truck, a budget rental truck. He was very clear, budget rental truck, towing my car behind me, with my little parakeet, Pastor Puffy, riding shotgun.
Were you driving the budget rental truck?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, he would, wouldn't he?
Oh, he would. And I was to stay in motels, not hotels. I was to stay in motels, and every motel I stayed in, I was to pray for those being trafficked in those very motels.
Okay, so we got to go back a little bit here. So the calling. So there was a calling on your life before you left Connecticut.
Yes, there was.
So was that calling before God called you to Kansas City, or was it after God called you to Kansas City? When did He begin to define that calling in your life?
While I was still in Connecticut.
But after He told you, or before?
No,
He told
long
you?
Before. It was before.
Oh, wow.
I was involved in a grassroots ministry that is now flourishing, praise God. But I was involved in a grassroots ministry in Connecticut that was targeting trafficked victims.
Human trafficking.
Human trafficking, primarily high school girls.
Oh, wow.
And there's a stretch in a certain town in Connecticut, like a 5-mile stretch. It's not an interstate, but you know, it's one of those, at the time it was the only highway that connected south to north in New England.
Okay.
It's a 5-mile stretch. There are 35 motels in this 5-mile radius.
Word.
All but one, mind you, does not offer hourly rates.
Oh.
What does that tell you?
Wow.
And that was the target. That was the focus.
So you had a calling on your life to help human trafficking victims before you left Connecticut.
Yes, I did. Absolutely.
That's incredible. And then you were able to help a grassroots organization, and God actually called you to sow a seed of finances into that organization.
I know, it was wonderful. It really, and I remain on their distribution list.
Oh,
so
great.
I just this week received, or at the end of last week, received an email, an update. They're doing tremendous, tremendous work.
I wonder if God sees that type of an investment as like an investment into your personal ministry. I mean, I'm just trying to think
quite
of like
possibly.
How God saw that. You know, He's like, I want you to sow into this because this is what you are going to be doing.
Quite possibly.
Just like a mustard seed investment, you know?
Quite possibly. No, you're absolutely right. And I'm sure that it all ties in. There's nothing, I mean, it's just the thread of his tapestry.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's the thread of his tapestry. Yeah. And every now and then, while I tend to see the back of the tapestry with the braids and the knots and the cuts and the threads, you know, the phrase, every now and then he flips it over and it's like, and in that moment, it's like, oh my goodness, I can't stop this. You've called me to this. There's not one person who walks with the Lord, in my opinion, that does not. Everyone has a calling. But then there are some that are chosen to do something exclusive or unique.
Wow, yeah.
But everyone has a calling. Anyone who has surrendered to him, if you're fully surrendered, whatever he calls you to do daily, we are to do. And I missed the mark. Don't get me wrong.
I missed the mark.
You know, I miss things. Certainly we all do in the minutia of our daily life. But I know that he chose me for this.
Wow.
He didn't just call me. He chose me.
I was going to say, you know, one of the greatest things that can happen in your Christian walk is that the Lord wants, he calls you to partner with him on a specific item. And it's almost like, well, I don't know if I, but let me tell you something. That is the greatest relationship you will ever have with the Lord is partnering with the Lord on what he cares about, because it becomes what you care about. Almost immediately, I care about this because God cares about this. Right. Yeah. I mean, you could say that for almost any person that has a calling in ministry, that they partnered with something that God cared about, and it just says, delight yourself in the Lord, and I'll give you the desires of your heart, and it uncovered maybe even unknown desires of their heart.
Truly.
So once you got to Kansas City, how long was it before God began stirring your heart, and kind of what was some of the process that got you towards starting Freedom's Bridge?
I arrived Kansas City, Missouri on May 13th of 2015 and thought, great, jump it in, and got nothing. I mean, nothing. I flipped and flopped like a fish on a dry dock. It's like, what is, Lord, you said you brought me out here. I tried to get involved three times with other established ministries.
Okay, yeah.
That deal with human trafficking. Three times, door closed. The third time I asked, did I get it wrong? And Holy Spirit said, it's not time. Wow. That's all he said. So that was 2015. You know, I was a shuttle driver. I volunteered at IHOP House of Prayer as a shuttle driver. I did a couple of other things. I operated a guest house for 22 months. At the conclusion of the 22 months, I knew that something was happening. Now we're going from 2015, now it's 2017.
Yes.
So June of 2017, I realized God's closing the door on me operating a guest house. I'm fine with that because door closes, he opens another one. I'm walking on the trails, not far from here, not far from the church here.
Shiloh?
No, not Shiloh. Literally the walking trails that are right here, where the little pond is as you drive here. Yeah.
Blue River Road.
Correct. Those trails. Holy Spirit says to me, I want you to pray for law enforcement, to which I say—
2017. This was 2017.
June of 2017. At the time, this was when the trail murders were happening, and the Lord says, walk the trails and pray.
Okay.
So yeah. I'm walking those trails, and I'm praying. Pray for law enforcement. Okay. I kid you not, within 15 minutes of saying yes, I round the bend on the trail, and who's coming toward me on horseback but KCPD Mounted Patrol.
Wow.
To which I say, hello, Lord said I'm to pray for law enforcement. May I pray for your horse and you? Sure. So I literally, and I just saw this officer yesterday, believe it or not, I literally put my hand on Samson, the horse.
The horse.
And I asked, could I put my hand on your calf? And I put my hand on the officer's calf and prayed for both of them. So that was, don't ask, I I'm going to say it was a Wednesday, but I could be wrong. Literally, pray for law enforcement. It had to be a Wednesday because I basically, it was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, same officer, same location, all 3 dates. Ran, you know, I didn't plan this. I did not plan this. Round the bend, here comes the officer. Here comes Samson, the horse. And two other officers are, so now there's 3 officers. The third day, there are 3 officers. You know, something happens the first time, and it's like, oh, God, that was pretty cool. Second day, the wheels are turning because it's the same thing the second day. The third day, this is a Holy Spirit 2x4.
Hope you noticed it.
It's like, Papa, what do you want me to know?
Exactly.
And he's like, pray for law enforcement.
Wow.
So there began my journey with KCPD. And just a side note, my personal ministry is Kansas City Police. I ride with Kansas City police officers to pray for them.
Amen.
I pray for all of them. God uses, again, it's the threads. It's the stepping stones.
Yeah.
God knew that had to happen first. So here I am praying for law enforcement. In September of 2017, I climb into a police car for the first time to do a ride along. And I haven't stopped since. As a result of that, I was introduced to the Citizen Police Academy, the KC Mo Citizen Police Academy. Attended the academy, graduated, and because I had done the Citizen Police Academy, the Police Academy, in 2019, I'm jumping ahead, but in 2019, I received an invitation from Homeland Security.
Wow.
To apply and be considered for the first ever Homeland Security Citizen Academy.
That the first ever?
First ever in Kansas City, Missouri.
Ooh.
I applied clearly, you know, and you have to write on your application why. Because the Lord said, I'm to pray for law enforcement and I'm to do this and I'm to do that.
Amen.
So I was fully vetted, obviously, deep dive, background check, et cetera, and I was accepted. So very first class I arrive, and my little name tent card said, Joy Marie Chamberlain, Minister. And I thought, I'm good with that.
I'm good with that.
Many of the agents who were teaching the course are believers.
Wow.
So during breaks, they began to take me aside and ask me, to pray for cases they were working on. Nothing, they divulged nothing that was compromising, but they were giving me names of trafficking victims.
Wow.
Would you please pray for? We are in the midst of building a case. We're looking to rescue this individual. And I'm just going to call her Susie. That's not her name. But would you please pray for Susie? Would you keep us in prayer?
Yeah.
And that progressed. Every week, it was more and more. So now I graduate the night of graduation, which was November.
How long was the whole event? Was it like a 3 weeks, 6 weeks?
It was 10 weeks.
10 weeks. Okay, that's a pretty long time.
Ten
was
weeks.
It every night, like Monday through Friday?
Once a week. No, it was once a week. But it was hands-on, and it was a three-hour intensive.
So you had 30 hours there.
I know how to sweep a room. I know how to do surveillance.
Wow.
There are a lot. I know how to write a subpoena.
That's awesome.
A search warrant.
Wow.
There are a number of things. It's really cool.
So it's pretty comprehensive. It's a good amount of time that allows you to.
Correct. So, yes, absolutely.
I was also saying that you also had time to create relationships and meet the
Oh, absolutely.
Meet the people. Yeah. And I like what you were talking about when you say they asked for me to pray for this or pray for that. You know, you were creating relationships.
It is. It's relational because it's God. You know, when the Lord, when he's breathing on it, it has to be relational.
Yeah. Yes.
It has to be.
Absolutely.
So graduation comes and an agent takes me aside and starts talking to me. But then other agents join us and I'm standing there with agents, again, November of 19. And they tell me they're hamstrung when it comes to a traffic rescue. They rescue an individual, and I'll just use you as an example. So you are rescued.
Yeah.
You are brought to their offices, whether it's Homeland, police, it doesn't matter, law enforcement.
Yes.
You're brought to their offices. You remain in their conference room until the victim advocate, social worker, whomever, can find somewhere for you to be placed, whether it's a shelter, arrangements. But this is a 72-hour gap from the time of rescue until the individual can be placed into a shelter facility, whatever the case may be. Law enforcement cannot provide lodging for these people they've rescued because that would be considered collusion. When the individual's on the witness stand, the defense attorney could ask, so where were you the 1 to 3 nights after you were rescued? Well, I was at Hotel XYZ, and who paid for it? Well, that would be law enforcement. See where this is going?
Yeah. I can see how they could see that as a problem.
So what did they get in exchange for providing a room for you? So I'm standing there listening to all of this, and I love these moments where there's no thought whatsoever. You know it's coming directly from the throne. And I open my mouth to hear, as I'm saying it, I'm hearing it for the first time.
Wow.
My church will step up and take care of that. And then I thought, gosh, now I've got to go ask. But in that moment, it was so real, and it was so right, wow, and it was so God. There was no hesitation. I opened my mouth and the words came out. So as a result of that, I then said, well, now let me go ask my church.
Yes. And you're currently going to church at Colonial Presbyterian Church.
I'm a member of Colonial Presbyterian, and I've been a member for 3.5 years now. So I was literally 1.5 years old member.
So you were a baby member.
I'm a baby member. And I say to Homeland Security, oh, sure, my church will take care of all this. Not a problem. Great. But one of our core values is that we are a safe harbor.
Amen. They have like 5 or 6.
We have a number of
core values.
We pray
and that
first.
Is one of them. Yes.
We are a safe harbor.
Yeah.
So again, I'm driving home from this event and it's a torrential rain, and I'm driving from the Northland, and I'm driving, and as heavy as the rain was coming down, that's how powerfully Holy Spirit was downloading to me.
Wow.
And he said to me, I did not bring you out here to join something. I brought you out here to establish something.
Wow. That's incredible.
And to which I replied, I will do it, but you have to give me the script, the name of the ministry and the scripture to go with it. And that was November of 19. I then submitted a proposal, a safe harbor opportunity proposal, to pastors and leadership, met with them, and I laid out the deficit. You know, this is where there's a gap, and it's not exclusive to Homeland Security. It is across the board with law enforcement when there's a rescue.
So this is a police officer goes into a place and they have a person, an individual that has been trafficked or taken, and this person is then this is, like you said, it's cross board.
Correct.
It's a cross board issue.
Correct.
It's an existing issue that needs a solution.
It's long term, and it needs help, no doubt about it. They need help. And my pastor's, hands down, yes, we'll do this.
That's awesome.
Absolutely.
Thank God.
So January 24th, to be exact, of 2020, while sitting in my quiet time, I hear Freedom's Bridge.
Wow.
And I thought, great. Okay, Freedom's Bridge. What's the scripture? So I'm thinking Isaiah 61, you know, let's hands down.
With that, or one of the build a highway scriptures.
Sure.
Build a highway, Freedom's Bridge.
Yeah. Ezekiel. And I was like, huh? Ezekiel 34:16. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. But the fat and the strong I will destroy and feed them in judgment.
Wow. So that has a
God spoke.
That has a restoration and then a judgment. because God wants to restore what was lost and then judge whatever was the problem.
Okay. And in 2020, literally February of 2020, Freedom's Bridge became an official bona fide ministry.
And you think about that too. I mean, for the heart of police officers, heart of Homeland Security, these people want to rescue what was lost.
Right.
And they have a judgment for those who perpetrated the crime.
Right.
Yeah, there's a judgment against right. it. It's in the laws of the land.
Right.
Hey, if you do this, you know,
there are consequences to our actions.
Yes.
Whether they are positive or negative, there are consequences to our actions.
So Ezekiel 34:16, and then what happened next?
What happened next was leadership met with Homeland Security special agents.
From we're talking about a church leadership met with
Homeland Security.
Homeland Security,
right? They
does that include police officers or is did it?
No,
them?
Homeland. Well,
the KCPD. I'm just trying to.
No, not this particular meeting. No, this all the catalyst for Freedom's Bridge.
Okay.
Was Homeland Security.
So the leadership met with Homeland Security.
Homeland Security agents came to Colonial Presbyterian Church, and we sat in a conference room at church for a couple of hours. It was the leadership and elders, some of the elders of our church, and they shared, Homeland Security shared the need. They shared, obviously, statistics, and I can't remember the statistics, but they shared how trafficking occurs, what the markers are, what the indicators are, and how large this travesty, this crime is. And said,
in America,
well,
and then also Kansas City.
It's worldwide. It's worldwide. It's nationwide. Yeah. And certainly it's, yes, in Kansas City particularly.
Well, Kansas City is in the center of the country.
We are the hub. You know,
we are a hub,
pretty much. And think about it. We're the middle of the country.
Yeah, middle of the country.
The railway comes through. Mm-hmm. All transportation comes through here.
St. Louis, Kansas City, or...
You've got truckers, you know, long haul, short haul, the rails, the aircraft, you name it, it's here. It's all going through.
Yeah.
It's prevalent throughout our nation, certainly, but, and I do have some numbers, but it is the second, human trafficking is the second largest business globally.
In the world.
Second to firearms and drugs. It's a commodity. It's a business. Trust me. So Homeland Security comes. We sit, you know, they come to Colonial. We have a meeting. My pastor, our lead pastor, sits there and says before they even left, the answer is yes, we will help you. Yes, we will do this. He said yes. And across the board. I mean, it was his yes, obviously representing the leadership, but he certainly sought their opinions, and it was unanimous. Yes, we are definitely going to help.
Yeah.
And I had submitted my proposal with a budget, and you know, I went forward with everything Holy Spirit had said. So everything was outlined.
Yeah. So you already had a plan and a structure.
Oh, it was all
awesome.
The plan
Incredible.
And structure was
Incredible.
Ready.
Yeah.
It was ready to go. Say yes, we're good. That was February of 2020. In March, everything shuts down. And
now right before
all of this happened. So here you're thinking, okay, very quiet. And it was. 2020 was very quiet for several months.
Wow.
But then I received a phone call from Homeland Security, probably around the September, early fall. And can you help? Yes, we can. So
this was a call for a specific
We've got a rescue.
Problem.
We need
for human trafficking. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
We have a human trafficking rescue. Can you assist us with lodging? Yes, I can.
And that was what Freedom Bridge was set up to do.
That is what Freedom's Bridge is all about. When there's a rescue, the law enforcement, whether it's a Homeland Security, State Highway Patrol,
KCPD.
Local authorities, they will contact me and say, we've got someone. Every case is different. They might have a rescue. There was one rescue that occurred. Clearly, it was a young girl. She had escaped her traffickers. And I was asked, Freedom's Bridge was asked, can you pay for a bus ticket to get her home? Her parents are waiting for her at the other end. So we paid for a bus ticket. Law enforcement literally escorted her to the bus depot, put her on the bus, and then she got home safely to her family. Another time it was, we have a rescue, we need to pay for hotel. How many nights? And our arrangement is 1 to 3 nights.
Okay. So because that's the 72-hour
window. That's the 72-hour window. That's the 72-hour gap that existed, past tense, that existed until last year.
Because you're now bridging that gap.
We are bridging that gap. We are bridging that gap. And thankfully, there is another incredible faith-based nonprofit that Freedom's Bridge partners with, called Relentless Pursuit Outreach and Recovery. They are phenomenal.
Yeah, and we've already, this Relentless Pursuit has already been referenced at least once on this podcast. And so,
I was just there yesterday.
Anyway, so back to your, so you've partnered with this.
Partnered with another nonprofit. I've partnered with a couple of nonprofits.
Yeah.
Other nonprofits, faith-based. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
They're faith-based. And I've certainly attended some very deep dive human trafficking training, and that's ongoing for me. It doesn't matter how long I'm in this. It doesn't matter how much I know. I will sit in the same training, human trafficking training sessions. I will sit over and over again. This has got to go into the marrow of my bones. It has got to be in my muscle memory. So when I am in a coffee shop and I see a woman in like pajama bottoms with a jacket on and high heels, that tells me something.
Yeah.
And this is a scenario, not that I've experienced, but somebody else has, where this particular scenario played out, and it was someone who had escaped.
Wow.
And escaped with the clothes on her back, and the only shoes she could find were her high heels. So that's an indicator. That's a marker. I mean, I know people dress a little peculiar nowadays, but again, if Holy Spirit is prompting me, I need to know with a glance if he's drawing my eye to something. I need to be able to see that entire package and understand that something is amiss.
Yeah.
And he's not going to steer me wrong. But even if I am wrong, I'd rather be wrong. I would rather be wrong than remain silent.
Absolutely.
And know that if this young woman walks out the door, her trafficker could be around the corner waiting to take her back.
Yeah, it's true. So what has your experience with Relentless Pursuit been?
Stellar. In October, again, I'm going back to 2020, Freedom's Bridge is a bona fide ministry. The Vice Squad, KCPD Vice Squad, asked me, they actually set up a meeting to introduce me, Freedom's Bridge, Colonial and Freedom's Bridge, to all areas of law enforcement.
Okay.
So in October of 2020, I met for the first time with not just KCPD Vice around the table, but Homeland, FBI, State of Missouri Attorney General's Office, State Highway Patrol from Missouri, and Relentless Pursuit Outreach and Recovery.
Yeah.
The founder and executive director was at this meeting as well, and his ministry itself, their organization, is doing what Freedom's Bridge is doing and a lot more.
Yes.
Phenomenal. I cannot tell you what an honor it is to partner for Freedom's Bridge, to partner with Relentless Pursuit. But as a result of this introduction to all areas of law enforcement, including the State of Missouri Attorney General's Office, Freedom's Bridge now became a bona fide, valid resource. Fast forward to this year, 2021, and there were three different trafficking stings, human trafficking stings, that took place in 2021. The first one was in April. It was local with law enforcement, KCPD. Freedom's Bridge was on site to help with bridging the gap, along with other nonprofit ministries, faith-based ministries. In June, there was a three-day Homeland Security sting, human trafficking sting. Freedom's Bridge was on site. And then in August, there was a concentrated, combined State of Missouri Highway Patrol and Attorney General's Office combined sting at an undisclosed location. And all three times, Freedom's Bridge was there to provide the hotel stay if needed to bridge that gap. But here's the even more exciting part. Freedom's Bridge, Colonial Presbyterian Church, represented by me, Joy Marie, was there to pray over the event before it even went out the door.
Yeah. Amen.
To pray over law enforcement, to pray for the victims, and I don't even like calling them victims, because while they, yes, they are victims, but think about it, they're survivors.
Yeah, survivors.
Because they are in this every day.
Amen.
They are in this every day, and they're surviving. How? By God, by God's grace, whether they know him or not, his hand is upon them, and he knows the exact moment that one, two, a thousand of them will be rescued.
Amen. So since its conception, or since its beginning, how many people has Freedom's Bridge been able to help?
Freedom's Bridge has individually, just contacting me directly, we've helped six.
Six so far.
With Homeland, with the three different stings that have been done, the numbers are higher.
So you were there for the stings, but individually, like as far as like placing people, you've been able to personally help six.
That's aside from those we helped, Freedom's Bridge helped during the stings, result of the stings.
Okay.
So I'm going to say, I'll throw out a number, maybe 22 or 23.
People.
And that's all inclusive.
Oh, awesome.
It is awesome. And it is awesome.
It's incredible. I mean, it's incredible that you know, that the righteous people are going out and establishing righteousness and rescuing people who are in great need, who are survivors. And Freedom's Bridge is almost there as a covering, you know, as a prayer covering, but also as a I feel like you guys are kind of like almost like a translator of the kingdom of God, or you're the glue. There's a little bit of glue in there, you know, like the, I don't know how to describe that specifically, but you're the heart.
It's a privilege.
Heart, you know?
Nathan, this is a privilege. I mean, think about it. You're talking law enforcement weapons. You know, they know combat.
Yes.
Because they've been trained.
Right.
Many law enforcement are former military to begin with. A good number of them. But what is absolutely exquisite is that they know the power of prayer. They know the power of prayer. I mean, you know, here's this timeless treasure who, you know, this little Q-tip, because I've got gray hair. I walk in with law enforcement. I'm standing there, you know, this relatively, you know, petite woman surrounded by people carrying firearms.
Amen.
And I've got the Bible.
I've got the,
praise
you've
the
got
Lord.
The weapon.
I've got the sword.
You do.
Somebody asked me one time, do you carry a gun? I said, no, I don't need to. I carry the sword.
Amen.
And nobody moves until Joy Marie's prayed. Amazing.
You might have like 20 or 30 people on a task force, And they're like, we're going to wait until we got prayer cover on this one.
The most recent one back in August, there were over 100 agents.
Wow.
Over 100 law enforcement representatives. And again, we're talking FBI's, Homeland, local, state, different states. I mean, it was not just Missouri. Other states were brought in. This was a multi-state endeavor.
Wow.
A multi-state sting. And I'm literally, I've got my Bible. I'm at the back of this room. I'm in the, there are two command posts. There's the primary and then there's the secondary command post at this particular sting. I'm in the secondary command post with every person who is going to go out, every person who's going out undercover. Yes. They're here for the briefing. And I'm in the back of the room, standing room only. I mean, that's how crowded this room was. Back of the room, in the corner, sitting on a chair with my Bible open, and I'm praying. And all at once I hear the coordinator, the voice of the coordinator ask, has anyone seen Joy Marie? Where's Joy Marie?
Oh, you're hiding in the back of the room.
So I stand up. I'm at the back of the room, and they ask me, come forward. So I weave my way through with my Bible in hand. And I walk up. Now, they had asked me, would you pray?
Yeah.
Would you pray? And yeah. I said, of course I would. You just tell me when. But I didn't expect it to be in that moment before anything started. And I literally, as I walked up and I turned to look at this sea of faces, a majority of whom had baseball caps on, the coordinator for the sting says, before we start anything, Joy Marie is going to open in prayer. What's branded on my heart, in that split second after she spoke, it was a female officer, hats came off heads like a ripple effect. I don't even know how to describe it.
Wow.
It moved me. It moved me. I was so overcome with emotion at the solemnity of it, at the reverence of it.
Yeah.
You're talking people that you think are rough and tough, and not that they aren't, because that's what they're supposed to do when they go out. Yeah. They're fighting a fight.
Yeah.
They're fighting a war. But the reverence, the honor they gave to our Lord in that
Amen.
Moment took my breath away.
That's
literally
incredible.
It took a couple of seconds before I could even open my mouth without going crying, because it was so exquisite.
Yeah.
It was exquisite. And it is a moment for me that I will... It's branded on my heart and it's imprinted in my memory.
That's incredible.
It was glorious.
That all honor to the Lord of glory.
To the Lord. That they would not, what an honor for me.
Yeah.
You know, what an honor as a servant of the Most High.
Yeah.
All I ever want to do is bring glory to His name.
Amen. That's absolutely.
This is a call.
Correct.
And when I realized that, from before the beginning of time, He chose this. He chose me. I mean, what no one knows, I speak well, but what no one knows is that as a child, I had a terrible speech impediment.
Wow.
I am the last person one would ever think. If you knew me back then, I would be the last person you would ever think who could sit in front of a microphone, stand up in front of hundreds of people, and speak as I do. All glory to God.
Chills. I got chills. Anyway, okay. Is there any way that people who are listening to this can get involved with Freedom Spring?
My short answer, no. well,
so there clearly is something to be praying for.
Everyone can become involved in some way, shape, or form.
Okay.
Absolutely prayer. By all means, prayer. Prayer for not just for Freedom's Bridge, but for every organization, every heart that's been pierced to do this kind of kingdom work.
Yes.
And the wonderful part about this ministry is that it doesn't, I don't want it to be siloed. You know, Freedom's Bridge is a ministry of Colonial Presbyterian Church. And truthfully, we are small. It's not like another organization that can go out and go door to door canvassing by any means. but there certainly are opportunities to volunteer at Relentless Pursuit. Christine's place is a phenomenal drop-in center on Independence Avenue. They are doing kingdom work. And again, Freedom's Bridge partners, we do come into partnership with them and some other areas. If someone wanted to make a donation to Freedom's Bridge, that would help to increase my budget, the ministry budget, to their, and that would allow me to maybe do a little bit more. You know, I'm working within a budget.
Okay, yeah.
But if someone would like to make a donation to Colonial Presbyterian Church, and in the memo section, Freedom's Bridge, the dollars would go into that ministry budget. That would allow Freedom's Bridge to help out when there's a specific need. And truthfully, what I do, in addition to hotel stays, I also provide comfort bags. So I go shopping and pick up underwear, socks, camis, you know, camisoles, toiletries, snacks. Those are, you know, sometimes it comes out of the, and it, well, not sometimes, it always comes out of the ministry budget. So that would be delightful. Yeah. There are other ad hoc needs that can crop up that are not necessary, they're not specific to a hotel stay, but we need a plane ticket.
A bus ticket.
So anything, if somebody wants to donate to Freedom's Bridge, please do so. Send a check to Colonial Presbyterian Church, 9500 Warnell Road, KCMO, 64114. In the memo, Freedom's Bridge.
Been there for a long time.
And I have to say, my church has embraced this.
That's incredible. It's so nice to have such a solid base.
They have embraced this. And I'm not just talking leadership. You know, this is not something that we've, you know, we've not put it on the marquee that this is a ministry. Yay. But as more, it's happening organically, exactly the way the Lord wants it to.
Wow.
My pastor said months ago, I would like Freedom's, I think it's time, Joy Marie, that Freedom's Bridge becomes more more visible. To which I replied, I don't dispute that. I'm all for it, but it has to happen in his timing. And 2 weeks ago, I'm interviewed on Channel 41, and now I'm sitting here today. This is not by my own strength. This is all God, all glory to him. Thank you for this opportunity. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on this Faith Horizons podcast.
My pleasure.
It is a privilege to interview people who share God's heart in Kansas City. I learned so much from Joy Marie. To give financially to the ministry, please send checks to Colonial Presbyterian Church and make sure to include Freedom's Bridge in the memo. I will include the address in the show notes. If you'd like to get in touch with Joy Marie, you can email her at joymarie316@gmail.com. I will also make sure to include her email in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining us for another Faith Horizons podcast. We look forward to sharing more conversations from the Kingdom of God in Kansas City. If you'd like to partner with the Faith Horizons mission to discover the Kingdom of God in Kansas City, one conversation at a time, please go to www.patreon.com/Faith Horizons. Thank you so much.